Good evening. Welcome to our worship service on this Good Friday evening. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord God, our merciful Father, we come before you in awe and wonder as we consider the amazing love that you've shown to us in the suffering that your Son so patiently endured for us all. Dear Lord, fill us with an ever greater appreciation for the sacrifice you made for us. All the worship and praise that we can give cannot thank you enough for what you have done for us on the cross, dear Jesus. Accept our praise today and increase our faith and love for you. Hear us for your name's sake. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for tonight is Throned Upon the Awful Tree. Please rise. I invite you to follow along with our order of service for this Good Friday with our service bulletin. We begin tonight on the middle of page 2. We begin our Good Friday worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved of God, we gather here on this Good Friday to worship our Savior and to commemorate his death on the cross for our sins. Let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking him, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. O Lord God, our merciful Father, I come before you in awe and wonder as I consider the suffering and death that your Son willingly endured for us all, and the amazing love that you have shown to me, a sinful, rebellious person. I pray, Wash me completely from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Fill me with an ever greater appreciation for the sacrifice you made for me. All the worship and praise that I can give cannot thank you enough for what you have done for me. Hear my prayer for Jesus' sake and accept my thanks and praise and increase my faith and love for you. Amen. God's word tells us that though we were dead in trespasses, he has made us alive together with him, having forgiven us all trespasses, having wiped away the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Now with boldness and confidence, we may approach God's throne to find grace to help in our time of need. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Please be seated. Our first reading for tonight is a responsive reading from Isaiah chapter 53. This is an Old Testament prophecy from the prophet Isaiah about the suffering and death that Jesus would go through for us all, how the Lord laid on him our sins, our iniquity, our guilt. We read responsively then these verses from Isaiah chapter 53. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, when your Son hung on the cross, he cried out to you in agony and grief. You gave him the strength to endure, so that death might be destroyed and life restored. Have mercy on us all our days and preserve us in true faith unto life everlasting. We pray this through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Our gospel reading for this evening is taken from John chapter 19. We'll read verses 23 through 30. When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier. They also took his tunic, which was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let's not tear it. Instead, let's cast lots to see who gets it." This was so that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, "They divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." So the soldiers did these things. Jesus' mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene were standing near the cross. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that time, this disciple took her into his own home. After this, knowing that everything had now been finished, and to fulfill the scripture, Jesus said, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine was sitting there. So they put a sponge soaked in sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Here ends our gospel reading. Praise to you, O Christ. Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in our Savior Jesus Christ with the words of the second article of the Apostles' Creed, along with Luther's explanation from the Catechism that's printed for you on pages 6 and 7 in your bulletin. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. He did this that I should be his very own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in eternal righteousness, innocence, and joy. Just as he is risen from death, lives and reigns in eternity, this is most certainly true. You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, O Sacred Head Now Wounded.
Oh, sacred.
Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of Jesus, our Savior, who was crucified for us and all of our sins, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith on this Good Friday is taken from the gospel reading we read just a few minutes earlier, the Gospel of John, chapter 19. We'll read the last verse from that gospel reading, verse 30. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." Then bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Do you know what the two words Alpha and Omega mean? They are the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet. They are like R, A, and Z in our alphabet. Did you know that those two Greek letters and those two Greek words are part of one of the names for Jesus? In the very end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, our Savior Jesus applies these names to himself. He says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." What does that name mean? And why is it such a name of wondrous love for our Savior? The Alpha and the Omega, the A and the Z. Well, let's use an illustration from everyday life. You have probably gotten one of these at your door before, and you probably are familiar with this logo. It's one of the most recognizable and one of the largest companies in the world. This is, of course, the logo for Amazon. If you see a package like this at your door, you know this is the symbol for Amazon. But did you know in a previous version of their logo, they used to have the company name above this smile with an arrow, and what they were intending was that this smile would start at the A and point to the Z. It was a subtle way of telling people, we have everything from A to Z. Now, in a few years, Amazon might actually have everything from A to Z. But is it possible that a company, a business like Amazon, and they're not the first to claim that or use that as a slogan, is it possible that any company, even one as large as Amazon, could have everything you need from A to Z? The answer is, of course not. But how about when Jesus refers to himself as the A to the Z, the Alpha and the Omega? Does he truly have everything we need? And the answer, of course, is yes. That's true. It is wonderfully true. Jesus has it all. He has everything we need for this life and the next, from A to Z, from the beginning to the end. He is all sufficient. He is all we need for this life, for salvation, for eternal life in heaven. His powerful and familiar words from the cross reflected this. In just three words in our language and only one word in the Greek, he cried out, "It is finished." The Greek word there is tetelestai. The gospel writers tell us that Jesus did not whisper these words either. That's the reason he had taken that sour wine to wet his throat, to get his vocal cords ready. He was about to cry out his final words from the cross. Part of those final words was this cry, "It is finished." He wanted all who were there to hear them. And the Holy Spirit had the Apostle John record these words of Jesus so that everyone could read them. These are the most important words in history, after all. It is finished. What is finished? What is the it of which Jesus spoke from the cross? Was he referring to his agony and his pain? Were these words of Jesus simply words of relief as he welcomed death and said goodbye to all the torture, the torment, and the pain he'd been enduring on the cross? No doubt there was relief in Jesus' words, but more importantly, there was victory. These are not just the words of a man who is surrendering to death, but these are the words of a soldier who has conquered in the battle. They are the words of a Savior whose mission was now fully accomplished. They are the words of the Alpha and the Omega, whose all-sufficient work for our salvation had been completed. That is the it that was finished. Not a single sin in that mountain load of sins that was on his back was left unpaid. From the very first sinner to the very last, there was no one whose guilt his shed blood had not covered. No payment was left to be made. It is finished. In fact, the ancient Greeks wrote this word that Jesus cried from the cross, tetelestai. They would put that on tax bills to show that they were paid in full. It's another way of seeing that word or translating that word. On Calvary, of course, Jesus did not use a stamp to tell us that our sins were paid in full. He used the crimson ink of his blood on that bill of sin that we had run up before God. It is finished. It is paid in full. In these words, we have the summary of our salvation. In these words, Jesus' wondrous love for us and all people is clearly shown. Because of these words, we have the peace of knowing what Paul expresses in Romans chapter 8, when he says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Later in that chapter, he says, who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus, who died and more than that, was raised to life, is the one who is at God's right hand and who is also interceding for us. The story is told of a man who came to the pastor and asked him rather sarcastically, what must I do to be saved, pastor? Knowing that this man wasn't serious, the pastor answered, it's too late. The man got a little anxious and asked again a little bit more seriously. He said, no, seriously, pastor, what must I do to be saved? And again, the pastor answered him, it's too late. But then he added, it's already been done. Thank God that we know our salvation is all done. It is finished. Once again, we gather on this Good Friday at the foot of Jesus' cross. We see with our eyes of faith and in our mind's eye, we see him dying there. And by that death, he has taken away the sting of death for us. Taken away our fear of death by the forgiveness he won for us on that cross. There's now nothing to fear when our last day comes. Instead, we see Jesus showing us how to die. Now, unlike us, Jesus didn't die because he had to. He died because he wanted to. Earlier in the same Gospel of John, John records these words of Jesus. He says, I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. The last half of our text illustrates this. It tells us that Jesus, then bowing his head, gave up his spirit, went to his death willingly. Luke's gospel records his final words in which he entrusted his soul to his heavenly Father when he cried out, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Because of Jesus' death, because of his resurrection, you and I can do the same when our life is finished. Now, no, we cannot control when or how we will die. But when our end comes, we can peacefully commend our souls into the loving hands of the one who is the beginning and the end, our beginning and our end, the one who will cradle us in his loving arms and carry us to the place that he's prepared for us in heaven, carry us to our true home. Because of our all-sufficient Savior and his wondrous love, that true home for us will be heaven. So no, Amazon doesn't actually have everything from A to Z. And no store or business, no matter how large, that's ever claimed to have everything from A to Z has ever actually had everything from A to Z, nor will they ever. But when Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, we can take him at his word. Jesus has everything. The Bible tells us that for in Jesus all things were created, in heaven and on earth, things seen and unseen, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and all things hold together in him. In Jesus, we also have everything. Everything we need for this life, for our salvation, for heaven. Nothing needs to be added. Nothing more needs to be done. Jesus proved it on the cross. He proved it and guaranteed it for us by his cross. It is finished. Hallelujah. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in our offering plate in the entryway of our church. We continue with our prayers for tonight, and we begin with a time of silent prayer and personal repentance. You may be seated. Please rise. Are there any prayer requests for this evening? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Savior Jesus Christ, with your triumphant cry of "It is finished," your cry of victory from the cross, you brought a close to your blessed work of redeeming us from our sins. Our tongues can never express all the praise that is due to you for this gift of your love, namely your body given into death and your blood shed for all our sins. What joy, what hope, what comfort is ours in the midst of sin and affliction, knowing that we are fully forgiven and that we are redeemed through your sacrifice. May our hearts never stray from you. May we never cease praising you. Sprinkle our sins with your blood and blot out our many transgressions from God's sight forever. As long as we live, shower us with your grace. Bestow on us every needful blessing upon our souls and our bodies. O Holy Spirit, whose gracious, life-giving power has awakened us from spiritual death and united us by faith to our crucified and risen Redeemer, grant that our sinful flesh is crucified with Christ, that dying to sin, we might always live unto him in righteousness. As you bestow on our hearts peace through the cross, help us also take up and bear our crosses after Christ, confessing his holy name. As it pleases you to keep us in the true faith, may it also please you to bring the good news of Christ's victory over death to others, that together with us they may enjoy the everlasting life and salvation, all to the glory of our Redeemer's name, the only name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved, who together with you and the Father is to be praised forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray these things, and now we pray in his name the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, The Lamb. Please rise. We continue with the service of the sacrament. We begin on the top of page 10 with the exhortation. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, since we are intending to come to the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is appropriate for us to examine ourselves as the Apostle Paul encourages us. For this holy sacrament has been instituted for the special comfort and strengthening of those who humbly confess their sins and hunger and thirst for righteousness. But if we do examine ourselves, we will find nothing in us but sin and death, from which we can in no way set ourselves free. Therefore, our Lord Jesus Christ has had mercy upon us and has taken upon himself our flesh and blood so that he might fulfill for us the whole will and law of God, and for us and for our deliverance has suffered death and hell and all that we by our sins have deserved. And so that we might more confidently believe this and be strengthened in our faith, he has instituted the sacrament of his supper, in which he feeds us with his body and gives us to drink of his blood. Therefore, whoever eats of this bread and drinks of this cup, firmly believing in the words of Christ, dwells in Christ and Christ in him and has eternal life. We should also do this in remembrance of him, showing his death, that he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. In thanksgiving to him for doing all this, we willingly take up our cross and follow him. And according to his commandment, we love each other even as he has loved us. For we are all one bread and one body, even as we are all partakers of this one bread and drink of this one cup. Let us pray together the prayer before communion on the bottom of page 10. Dear Savior, upon your gracious invitation, I come to your altar to receive your body and blood. Let me find favor in your eyes that I may approach your table in true faith and receive the sacrament to the salvation of my soul. Amen. Continue with the words of institution. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given for, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of our Lord be with you always. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, we ask those who are communicant members of St. Stephen Lutheran Church or of a sister congregation in the Church of the Lutheran Confession to receive the Lord's Supper at this time. We begin with those who are taking the Lord's Supper from their pews. I invite you to take out your communion packets. We start first with the bread. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. And now the wine. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Now may this, the true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. At the direction of our ushers, I invite those communicant members to come forward for the Lord's Supper at our altar.
blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace.
I invite you to please rise. Let's join in praying the prayer after communion on the top of page 12.
Let God become thy dwelling.
We pray. O blessed Savior Jesus Christ, I thank you for giving yourself to me in this holy sacrament. Keep me in your faith and favor. As you live in me, let me also live in you. May your body and blood preserve me in the true faith unto everlasting life. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. You may be seated. Our closing hymn for tonight is Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted. I invite you to stand for the last verse.
Thank you.
Please be seated. We conclude our Passion History readings for the season of Lent with part 7, the burial of our Lord. That text can be found on page 14 in your bulletin. And the whole crowd who came together to that site, seeing what had been done, beat their breasts and returned. But all his acquaintances and many women also were there, standing at a distance, looking on from afar, watching these things. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less and of Joses, and Salome, the mother of Zebedee's sons. When Jesus was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him, and they had followed him from Galilee, ministering to him. And there were many other women who had accompanied him from Galilee and came up with him to Jerusalem. Therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the bodies should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, not one of his bones shall be broken. And again another scripture says, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And after these things, when evening had come, because it was the preparation day, that is the day before the Sabbath, behold, there came a rich man from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. He was a good and just man, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. He was a prominent council member, but he had not consented to their counsel and deed. This man took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus, that he might take it away. And Pilate marveled that he was already dead. And summoning the centurion, he asked him if he had been dead for some time. And when he had found out from the centurion, Pilate gave him permission and commanded the body to be given to Joseph. Then Joseph bought fine linen and came and took the body of Jesus down. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus and wrapped and bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. In the garden, Joseph's own new tomb that was hewn out of the rock, in which no one had yet been laid. Therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, that day was preparation and the Sabbath drew near, because the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary, the mother of Joses, sitting opposite the grave. They observed the tomb and where and how his body was laid. And Joseph rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and went away. And the women returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils. And they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, After 3 days I will rise. Therefore command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say to the people, He has risen from the dead. So the last deception will be worse than the first. Pilate said to them, You have a guard. Go your way. Make it as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. I invite you to hear the blessed end of that gospel account at our service on Easter Sunday, where we will once again praise Jesus and declare the words of the angel, He is risen. Our Easter service will be held at 10 a.m. this Sunday here in Mountain View, and Easter brunch will follow. Children's Easter egg will follow. Easter egg hunt will follow after that as well. For those who are able to help set up and decorate for our Easter service, you're invited to join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. for our decorating and setup. in observance of our Savior's death, we will walk out of the service tonight in silence. You are asked to, if you would like to converse and talk after the service, you're invited to do so either outside or in the fellowship hall. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.